This week's show is going to be a little different. Recently, I gave a workshop on the killer innovation approach at the request of some senior IT executives. I've gone ahead and posted the slides over at the blog at philmckinney.com. But one of the most common requests I get is audio to go along with the slide presentations that I give. Now, I did not record the audio for this particular workshop, so what I'm going to do is over the next series of podcasts, I'm going to capture the audio. I'm going to recreate the workshop, capture in the form of the podcast that you have it to go along with the slide material. So this week's show is part one, and the theme is why innovation? Face it, innovation is becoming the buzzword. I'm even seeing it appear in corporate mission statements. So why is innovation so important? I'll be right back.
This is the Killer Innovations Podcast with Phil McKinney. Keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are Phil's and Phil's alone, and they don't necessarily reflect those of his past, current, or future employers. Now, here's Phil McKinney.
Have you ever noticed that the speed of innovation is accelerating, but not just the speed, but also the impact on society? It's what I call innovation acceleration. Now, one example that I'm sure we're all familiar with is the web, starting off with the browser wars between Netscape and Microsoft, the search engines between Yahoo and Google, and now the social networking sites, Facebook, MySpaces, etc. Now, this acceleration is not just limited to the high-tech field. We see it across a wide range of industries. And what this is this compression of time. So therefore, the lifespan of innovations is becoming much, much shorter, but their overall impact on society is growing significantly. Now, this injects a lot of pressure into society. It injects a lot of pressure into the stock market, into companies, into industries, into government agencies to keep up. The real challenge here is how do you deal with this pressure? And more importantly, how do you deal with the uncertainty? The uncertainty of what's going to come next. Am I ready to take advantage of it, or do I get caught off guard? What is this issue? How do I manage it? How do I address this uncertainty of time and impact to make sure that I can capitalize on it? Now, to give you a more tangible example of this kind of acceleration that we're seeing, think about how long does it take to get to 50 million users, whether it's a product or service. How long does it take to get to 50 million users? Now, the examples I normally use are things like the telephone. Now, in the case of the telephone, it was 74 years. For radio, 38 years. For the PC, 16 years. For the TV, 13 years. For the internet, 2 years. And for blogs, 1 year. Now, this is broad adoption. 50 million is kind of the magic number that we typically use to understand broad adoption of a new piece of innovation, a new piece of technology, a new product, a new service, a new business model, whatever it is. But 50 million is kind of this magic number for broad adoption. So look at your own industries. Whatever the metric is, see how this acceleration is happening. See how this impact is driving the overall trends in your business or your industry. Now, the real challenge here is that users are feeding this push. Users are becoming much more sophisticated. The users are having much better access to information, one, by the web. They can go out, they can read blogs, they can look at reader reviews of new products to see whether or not it's going to fit their need. But the challenge here is that the users are driving this shift. You have a much more sophisticated users out there. You have a much better, more highly educated customer. The challenge here is how do you identify those new things? What's the thing beyond blogs? Well, it would be social networking. And that thing was like something like 6 months to get to 50 million users. So the challenge again is what's the next thing? How much acceleration can we really see in the overall market? And how do you really address this issue within a business to be able to respond? Now, the real challenge for business is to address two critical issues. One I call the innovation gap. The other I call the innovation delay. Now, the innovation gap is the gap between the needs for innovation and the supply. Businesses are finding themselves under this constant pressure to develop new things, new products, new services, New ad campaigns, new business models, moving into new competitive arenas. But the challenge they have is they don't have a supply of ideas. They don't have a supply of killer ideas that would allow them to go execute, allow them to be competitive, allow them to take a market position and to be a winner. Now, for those ideas they do have, they typically suffer under what I would call the innovation delay. Now, the innovation delay is the time you go from selecting an idea until it ultimately has an impact on the business or society. And typically, that delay is actually getting longer. And typically, it gets longer based on the size of the organization. So as the organizations get larger, the longer it takes to go from idea to execution. If you're in a business that suffers from both an innovation gap and an innovation delay, you're in trouble. And the key here is getting management buy-in to think about this context of sourcing ideas and then executing on them. And how do you shorten the execution? Now, when you interview executives, it's interesting to get their opinion on the overall challenges within the innovation space. Now, an Arthur D. Little study recently asked executives on how they think about innovation. And when asked about has innovation increased in importance in the last 10 years, almost 90% of the executives said, yes, sure, yeah, it's increased its importance. Now, when you ask those same executives about how does it play as far as an important role in assessment of the company value, they come down a little bit. They'll say, well, it's about 70% will say, yes, it has innovation has some impact on the overall value of the business. Now, what's really shocking is that when you ask the same executives how confident in their ability to manage and measure that innovation impact, it drops to 30%. Better than 90% agree that it's important. 70% say yes, it plays an important role in the valuation of their business, yet only 30% are confident that they have the ability to manage and measure innovation impact. Now, impact is on everybody's mind. Everybody's trying to understand which innovations do I do? How do I get the best ideas? How do I use this to a competitive advantage? One of the key challenges here, it seems from this survey, is that managers are uncertain on how to manage and measure innovation. And really the purpose of the Killer Innovations approach is to give you the tools to not only come up with better ideas, give you tools to manage it, but also to give you the tools to measure and to measure the impact within your organization. Now, another set of studies done at Diamond Cluster asked a set of executives to rank kind of where innovation was in their top priorities. 87% ranked innovation as one of their top five priorities. Now, these same executives boast that their companies excel at innovation. It's almost become kind of the stump speech for politicians. Everybody's for something that's extremely popular, that's kind of non-committal, that's kind of non-confrontational, and innovation is the buzzword. So a large number of these executives are standing up and saying, yes, and we excel at innovation. But when you really poke at it, the same executives couldn't differentiate between incremental improvements and breakthroughs. Now, they're both innovations. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that an innovation is only a breakthrough. But these same executives in their own minds hadn't come up with their own definition of an incremental innovation, a breakthrough innovation, and the value and approach to each. And what you find then is that they really don't understand the overall approach to innovation. And very few executives said their firms have any kind of structured approach to innovation. Now, this leaves kind of this mindset that innovation or ideas is kind of a gift from God. It's the lightning bolt that comes down and taps you on the shoulder, and you wake up with this phenomenal idea that you're going to go off and it's going to basically transform your business. The reality is innovation is hard work. There are skills to be learned. There are tools to be used. It's a skill and tools that you can learn, you can practice, you can become proficient at, and you can excel at. But it's not about finding the magic genius who sits in the cube and waits for the lightning bolt. You can go out and you can find those innovations. You can find those killer ideas that are really going to transform your industry and transform your business. But the key is that you do have to have some form of structure. It isn't just this free-for-all and put the suggestion box hanging out by the time clock and hope that the best idea comes in. It requires work, it requires organization, it requires a culture, and it requires management support, it requires executive support to make this happen. Now, let's face it, there's a challenge within an enterprise to really be an innovation-based enterprise. How do you maintain efficiency while fostering innovation? Innovation does require you to think differently than just turning the crank on normal business. So how do you maintain this efficiency while fostering innovation? At the same time, how do you stress bottom line results without restricting innovation? How do you get away from the standpoint of the quarterly numbers and the quarterly number challenge on budgets? Oh my God, we have a bad quarter, so we got to cut expenses. Innovations require long-term investments over long horizons to see the benefits. Now, long can vary from an industry to industry, but it typically is beyond the end of this quarter. So how do you stress bottom line results without restricting innovation? And how do you adapt to the changing markets and environments while maintaining some stability? Innovations are all about being disruptive. It's all about finding new markets. It's about going out and finding new opportunities. So how do you adapt to changing markets and environments while maintaining stability? Now, what management's really looking for is the understanding of value. How do I extract or understand the value from innovation? Now, there haven't been a lot of really good studies out there, but the best one that I use is one from Harvard Business Review. Now, it's a couple years old, so it's not exactly up to date, but I haven't found a better one more recently. Now, what this study did was it looked at a variety of high-tech companies and looked at what was their R&D spend. Now, in this case, the industry average was that 86% of an R&D budget was spent using core products, going into the core R&D, the existing products, the next version of the existing product, existing markets, existing geographies. And 14% was spent on going into new areas. Now, the theory being is that if you are doing the right level of innovation, your focus should be on gross margin. If you do the right innovation, it will translate into a better mousetrap that then in turn will allow the customers or give a willingness to the customer to give you a margin premium. So in this case, 14% of the R&D was translated into 38% of the revenue for these same companies. That 38% of revenue translated into 61% of the margin. 61% of the margin. So 14% of the R&D translates into 61% of the margin. Now the theory again here is that innovations equal better mousetraps, customers will give you a margin premium. And it's really about R&D impact to gross margin. Now I'm not a big believer of the typical Wall Street metrics of R&D as a percentage of revenue because it's non-predictive. It does not predict what the output result will be. R&D impact to gross margin is predictive. It does predict what the end result will be. It'll predict, not directly, but at least give you a trend line to where the business will end up from the standpoint of that overall R&D spend. So in summary, what we've seen is this impact from the innovation acceleration. The fact that the life cycle of innovations are becoming much shorter, but the impact to society is getting much more severe. At the same time, businesses are feeling this pressure, but they're suffering from two fundamental characteristics. They suffer from an innovation gap, this need for innovation, and their inability to fill that gap from the supply that they have available to them. But then the ideas that they do have, they suffer from the innovation delay. From the time they select an idea until that product or service goes into market, that takes much longer, particularly given the compression that we're seeing from the innovation acceleration. At the same time, when you go out and you talk to executives and you talk to managers, they understand the importance of innovation. They get it. They understand it's important. They understand the impact on their business. Where they feel they have our huge challenge is, how do I measure it and how do I manage it? And let's face it, we all have to deal with the challenge of innovation, of how do you maintain the efficiencies, how do you stress the bottom line, and how do you deal with change while at the same time trying to support or create an innovation culture. And let's not fool ourselves. There is value to be created. There are studies out there. There are good numbers that you can use to convince management that innovation is critical to your business. The key here is being able to give the tools, give the skill sets, give the approach that gives confidence to management that you can go from idea to impact and that you're working on the right ideas at the right time. Now, in closing, this is part one of what will be the audio to cover all of the slides that are available on the blog at PhilMcKinney.com. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. As I said in the beginning, this podcast is going to be a little bit different. We're not covering the killer questions or questions from listeners. The objective here is that we're going to be creating multi-part podcast and then use the audio portion to actually create the CD. The objective is to give you a CD that you can burn, you can easily share with friends, family, managers, executives, so they can get an understanding of the importance of innovation and the importance of changing the culture to be ultimately successful in the creative economy. So please send your feedback. You can email me at podcast@killerinnovations.com. You can post your comments over at the show notes at killerinnovations.com. Also, feel free to link up the networks. You can find me over at Facebook, or you can connect with me via LinkedIn at podcast@killerinnovations.com. Please, if you connect with me via Facebook or LinkedIn, note that you are a listener. I get a lot of requests, and I decline the ones that I can't easily identify as either as listeners or somebody from my business network. Also, pay it forward. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, you know that what really drives me to create this podcast is to pay it forward. It's to repay the investment that early mentors made in me, and my agreement and my commitment to them was that I would pay it forward later in my career. So feel free to link to the blog, link to the podcast, and tell others about the show. Also, don't forget to vote. Voting is the easiest way to tell the producers of your favorite podcast that you truly appreciate the effort and the expense they go through in producing the great content. So you can vote for any of your podcasts over at Dig, Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, or any of the other sites. Send your listener questions. I'm looking for listener questions to answer an upcoming podcast. You can send those to me at podcast@killerinnovations.com. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I truly do appreciate you taking the time. And again, I am looking for feedback as I am now going to be releasing the audio that ultimately will result in the CD project. So please let me know if you think I'm going down the right track. And we'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.